You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of a lecture cycle by Rudolf Steiner entitled The Spiritual Hierarchies and the Physical World. Lecture 3, Planetary Evolution, Saturn and Sun Stages of Evolution and the Spirits of Personality. Given on April 13th, 1909, in the morning. At the end of the previous lecture, about the lowest realm of the spiritual hierarchies, questions arose in your minds. This is quite natural. According to contemporary thinking, much of what was said must seem at first problematic and incomprehensible. Light will be shed on several points during the following lectures. To give you general guidelines to this way of thinking, however, one thing should be made clear at this point. A person today might ask, if I do in fact release an enchanted being from a stone through my thinking, what remains in the stone? Does the being remain in the stone? What has happened to the stone? Suppose a second person comes along and goes through the same process. What results? Such questions can easily arise. Some will be dealt with in the course of these lectures, but it should be borne in mind that earthly thinking cannot grasp such matters. Everything on earth is veiled and cloaked in Maya, and reality is other than it appears to our thinking. We need not blame the things themselves that such questions remain unanswered. The questions are wrongly put. In time, we shall acquire a vantage point from which to put the questions correctly. That is, as we gain insight into situations not as deeply shrouded in illusion, matters will be seen to be radically different. On earth, things are jumbled together, and as a result, our thinking is continually led astray. Purer concepts can be gained by looking back into ancient times. Just as a human being passes from one incarnation to another, from one metamorphosis to another, so all the beings of the universe, small or great, go through re-embodiments. The earth, a planetary being, also passes through incarnations. In the beginning of its existence, our earth did not appear in its present form. Other states preceded it. This subject has often been dealt with in our circles. Just as a human being in his or her present existence is a reincarnation of a previous life, so the earth, too, represents a re-embodiment of an ancient planet. We call that former planetary incarnation moon, but we do not mean our present moon, which is only a part, a residue of the ancient moon. By moon we mean a former state of the earth that existed in the past, and then, just as a human being passes through a spiritual state after death, went through the spiritual state called pralaya. Just as a human being reincarnates, so this lunar planet reincarnated as Earth. Further, what we have characterized as this lunar planetary state is in fact the reincarnation of a still earlier state, which we call Sun. This Sun is not the present Sun, but quite a different planetary state. It is the first reincarnation of the primeval planet we call Saturn. This is what we look back to when speaking of the incarnations of our Earth. Thus we have four successive planetary incarnations: Saturn, Sun, Moon, and Earth. Each planetary state has a special task. What is the task of the Earth? To make human existence possible. All effecting circumstances on Earth are such that through them human beings can become I beings, capital. This was not the situation during previous planetary states. Humanity only became human in the present sense of the word on Earth. Earlier planetary states of the Earth had similar objectives. Beings who are now above humanity reached their human state on earlier planets. From my book titled Christianity as Mystical Fact, you may recall that an Egyptian sage once pointed out to Solon, the Greek, a remarkable intimation of an important truth that was known in the mysteries. The sage told Solon that the gods had once been human beings. In ancient times, a pupil of the mysteries had to accept the truth that the gods who dwell in exalted regions had not always been gods, but had once been human beings, had risen from the human state to their present exalted heights. Of course, some students of the mysteries immediately inferred the perilous truth that at some time in the future human beings would also become gods. This truth was viewed as dangerous because it absolutely required that one add to the former truth the fact that human beings can become a god only when they are ripe for that condition. If human beings imagine that they can find the god within at any moment, before they have reached the necessary stage of maturity, they do not become gods, but merely fools. Two paths are therefore open to humanity. Either a person can live patiently in anticipation of what Dionysius the Areopagite called deification, theosis, or one can imagine oneself prematurely already a god. The first path leads to a true deification, the second to folly and madness. In our time, misunderstandings of the sayings of the ancients abound, because we no longer differentiate between various degrees of divine spiritual beings. The Egyptian sage who spoke of the gods did not mean simply one degree of gods, but whole sequences of divine spiritual beings. Dionysius the Areopagite and the wise sages of the East always differentiated between various degrees of divine spiritual beings. It matters little whether we speak of angels or Dhyan Chohans. Those who grasp the unity of cosmic wisdom are well aware that they are merely different names for the same beings. But one must differentiate within this realm. In Christian esotericism, the invisible beings immediately above humanity are called angels, angeloi, or messengers of the divine spiritual world. The beings one stage higher, that is, two ranks above humanity, are called archangels, archangeloi, or spirits of fire, beings who, when they have accomplished their normal development, are at a still higher stage, are called spirits of personality, primeval beginnings, or archai. To begin with, then, we have three ranks of beings above humanity. All of these were once human, and passed through a human stage. Beings who are angels today, when seen from the aspect of universal time, passed through their human stage relatively recently. They were human on the moon. Just as we, as human beings, can inhabit the earth because of the conditions here, so the angels could pass through their human stage on the moon. The archangels went through their human evolution on the sun. The spirits of personality, archai, or primeval beginnings, went through their human evolution on ancient Saturn. Such beings rose beyond humanity by degrees. Today they are higher beings at higher stages of the hierarchy than human beings. Thus, as we begin to enumerate the stages of the cosmic realms from a spiritual aspect, we can simply say that first we have the visible earthly kingdoms, the mineral, plant, animal, and human realms, and then above these, the invisible realms of the angels, archangels, and archai. In the course of the spiritual ascent of these beings, as they develop from human beings to gods, or more exactly to messengers of the gods, as they ascend in spiritual existence, the conditions of the planets they lived on also change. If we look back to ancient Saturn, when the archai were at the human stage, we find that conditions were totally different from those of Earth. Yesterday we said that on our Earth we distinguish four elements, earth, water, air, and fire, or warmth. The first three elements were not present on ancient Saturn. Only fire or warmth existed on Saturn. A modern materialistic philosopher would say that we can become aware of heat only through outer objects, warm, solid bodies, warm water, and that heat cannot exist by itself. The materialistic philosopher believes that, but it is not true. If we could have observed ancient Saturn with our present senses, what would have been presented to us? Let us assume, hypothetically, of course, that you could have flown through universal space at the time of old Saturn. You would not have seen where ancient Saturn was. There was nothing to see. You would only have been aware of heat. Flying through ancient Saturn would have felt rather like flying through a heated oven. There would not have been the slightest breeze. You would not have been able to swim because air and water did not exist. You would not have stood up because there was no earth. Your hand could not have touched anything. There was only a huge ball of heat. Ancient Saturn came into existence from the element of warmth or fire. Our Earth's metamorphosis began with a planet of heat, and this shows how correct Heraclitus was when he said, "Everything is derived from fire." Yes, truly, the Earth is only a transmutation of ancient Saturn. Everything on Earth arose from fire. Heraclitus knew this, truth from the ancient mysteries. This is indicated when it is said that his book, containing this truth, was dedicated to the goddess of Ephesus, and that he placed it on her altar there. In other words, Heraclitus acknowledged that he owed this truth to the mysteries of Ephesus, where the teaching of the primeval fire of Saturn was proclaimed in all its purity. You will have deduced also that the beings called primal beginnings, the archai, or spirits of personality, passed through their human stage under quite different conditions than we live under today. In bodily constitution, in their blood and bony system, human beings today can assimilate solids, liquids, and gases. The humanity of Saturn, the spirits of personality, had to build their whole bodies from warmth and fire. That is exactly what they did. On Saturn they had a body of fire, consisting entirely of warmth. In my previous lecture I told you that there are two sides to warmth. One we feel inwardly. We feel warm or cold without contacting solids in the outer world. We can also become aware of outer warmth when, for example, we take hold of a heated object. The distinctive aspect of Saturn's development lies in the fact that warmth, which at the beginning of the Saturn state was experienced only inwardly, gradually and then increasingly became outwardly perceptible. This continued until the end of the Saturn period. If you had traveled through Saturn during the early phase, you would not have been aware of any outer warmth touching your skin, but you would have felt inwardly warm. You would have sensed a comfortable feeling of inner warmth. Something of what we call today an inner warmth of soul would have been your experience as you traveled through Saturn during its early phase of evolution. You can imagine the experience you would have had on Saturn if you consider the following. You know there is a difference between looking at a red surface and looking at a blue surface. Red, when you look at it, produces a feeling of warmth, and blue a feeling of coldness. Imagine the feelings released in the soul by the impression of something red. At the beginning of the Saturn state, you would not have had these feelings. Instead, you would have felt somehow comfortably warm, as when today you look at something red. At the end of the Saturn period, you would have sensed not only this pleasant inner warmth, but also something resembling outer warmth coming toward you. Inner warmth would have transformed itself gradually into perception of outer warmth. The evolution of Saturn goes from an inner soul warmth to an outwardly perceptible warmth, or fire. One might say that just as the child grows to adulthood and experiences various stages, so the spirits of personality also developed on ancient Saturn. Initially they felt comfortably warm inwardly, and then they gradually became aware of how this warmth was being externalized, indeed, one could even say embodied. But what happened then? You must imagine first the inner warming process of the globe of Saturn. This enabled the spirits of personality, archai, to embody. During their incarnation, outer warmth gradually formed. Had you journeyed through Saturn during the later phases of its development, you could have distinguished between warmer and colder outer areas. However, if you had made a drawing of these self-contained bodies of warmth, you would have produced a picture in which at the surface of Saturn you would have found clusters of warmth eggs forming an outer crust. From outside, the surface resembled a blackberry or raspberry. What were these quote-unquote eggs? They were the bodies of the archai, the spirits of personality. And through their inner warmth, the spirits of personality produced the outer warmth of these Saturn eggs. It could be said of this state that as the spirits brooded over the warmth, they really brought forth the first bodies of fire. From cosmic space inward, the first bodies of fire coagulated. If we may use the expression, the external warmth eggs coagulated outwardly in space warmth. On ancient Saturn, the spirits of personality, the archai, who were also called asuras, were incarnated in these bodies of fire. The state of Saturn consisted only of this element of fire. The spirits of personality during the evolutionary phase of Saturn could transform outer warmth into inner warmth once again. The process was not fixed in any way. It was inwardly mobile. Indeed, the spirits of personality, the archai, were continually producing warmth eggs and letting them dissolve again. To picture this process more exactly, imagine that you traveled for some time through these regions. You would have noticed that there were times on Saturn when no outer warmth was perceptible, only a comfortable feeling of inner warmth. This would have been followed by periods when the warmth eggs appeared. You would have become aware of a kind of breathing on ancient Saturn, a breathing of fire. You would have thought, I am within ancient Saturn, and feel as if all outer warmth has become inward, as if everything were only a feeling of inner well-being. Then you would have said, now Saturn has breathed in the warmth. On another occasion, you would have come across the many warmth eggs, and you would have said, now Saturn has breathed out its inner warmth and is all external fire. The holy rishis conveyed this image to their pupils, who were transported back spiritually to the time of ancient Saturn, and caused to experience how the whole planet accomplished something similar to our outbreathing and inbreathing. The rishis showed their pupils that when the fire flowed out, it produced countless bodies of warmth, and when the fire was drawn in, it became the inner I nature of the spirits of personality. Therefore, the life of the planet was compared to a breathing out and a breathing in. But in the Saturn state, there was only a fire breathing. Air was not yet present. Let us now imagine that all of these spirits of personality on Saturn would have continued to breathe fire in and out. They would then have gone through their regular Saturn stage of development. The result would have been that after a certain period, everything would have been gathered up again into inner warmth. The external fire planet would have disappeared, would have been taken up once more into the spiritual world. This could have occurred, but in that case there would have been no sun, moon, and earth states, because everything breathed out would have been gathered up into inner warmth again and returned to the spiritual world. A trivial expression can easily characterize what actually happened. Certain spirits of personality preferred to take back only a portion of the warmth breathed out. Something continually remained behind, so that when there was a breathing in, all the Saturn eggs did not disappear. As a result, a duality arose on Saturn. Inner warmth and then outer warmth were incorporated in the eggs. Not everything was taken back again. The spirits of personality left a part of the exhaled warmth to take care of itself, so to speak. They left it outside. Why did they do that? They had to, because otherwise they would never have reached their human stage on Saturn. What does it mean to become a human being? It means to attain I consciousness. But you cannot achieve this unless you can distinguish yourself from your surroundings. Only because of this are you an I. The bouquet of flowers is not there. I am here. I differentiate myself as I from the objects around me. Had the spirits of personality not left something that offered outside resistance, they would have allowed their eye to stream out eternally. They came to I-ness, or self-consciousness, because something was outside them. They differentiated themselves from the warmth element that had been made objective. They pushed a part of the Saturn beings outside into a condition of external warmth, and said to themselves, I must allow something to stream out of myself and leave it there, so I can differentiate myself from it and kindle my eye consciousness by means of this external part. Thus they created a realm next to their own, and at the same time they produced a reflection of their inner life in the external. Consequently, when the Saturn phase of existence came to an end, the spirits of personality could not let the planet disappear. Had they breathed in all the fire, it would have disappeared. But they were not in a position to breathe in what they had previously externalized. They could not intervene in the sphere that had offered them the possibility of self-consciousness. A condition of pralaya could not have arisen for Saturn only through the spirits of personality. Higher beings had to intervene to dissolve Saturn again and cause a state of transition, of disappearance, of sleep, or pralaya. Higher spirits, the thrones, stepped in and dissolved everything that had existed. Thus, as the life of Saturn drew to a close, the spirits of personality had attained self-consciousness and absorbed a part of the warmth again. They had developed a consciousness of self at their center and left behind a lower realm. The thrones now dissolved what the spirits of personality had left behind. Saturn then entered into a kind of planetary night. This was followed by a planetary dawn, when everything was to awaken again by means of laws that we shall get to know later. Had ancient Saturn disappeared through a complete breathing in of the warmth, the whole of Saturn existence would have been gathered up into the spiritual world. In that case, an awakening simply could not have occurred. Now, the thrones could dissolve only temporarily what the spirits of personality had externalized as eggs. These had to be given over to a lower stage of existence for further development. As a result, a planetary dawn ensued, and the second metamorphosis of Saturn, the sun state, arose. What came to life, then? The spirits of personality, who had attained self-consciousness and no longer needed to go through what they had previously experienced, came over from ancient Saturn after the planetary sleep. The warmth eggs, which they had exhaled, now differentiated themselves again from the general mass. The spirits of personality were now bound, so to speak, to what they had previously left behind. Had they been able to gather everything into the spiritual world, they would not have been bound to the sun existence. They would not have had to descend. But they had to do so, because they had left a part of their own being behind. They had to concern themselves with it. Indeed, it drew them down into a new planetary existence. That was the destiny of Saturn. It was world karma, cosmic karma. Because the spirits of personality had not taken everything into themselves on ancient Saturn, they prepared the karma that obliged them to return. Down below they found, as a heritage of ancient Saturn, what they themselves had brought about. What happened as the spirits of personality took up the karma they had created? I characterized these results yesterday in general terms, when I explained that warmth divided itself into light and smoke. On the one hand, there arose out of the warmth eggs, on the reborn Saturn, a new planet composed of gas, air, or smoke. On the other hand, there arose light, which appeared because warmth returned to higher conditions. So on transformed Saturn, inwardly we have smoke, gas, and air, and on the other hand we have light. Had you now traveled through the universe and arrived at the place of the old sun, you would have been aware, from afar, of the light that had formed there, because there was smoke behind it, You would not have seen the light, but a shining globe, just as you would have perceived a globe of heat on Saturn. You would have encountered a shining ball. And had you penetrated beneath the surface of this ball, you would have experienced not only warmth, but also winds, air, and gases blowing in every direction. The globe of heat had transformed itself into a globe of light. A sun had come into being. We are quite justified in calling it a sun. The orbs that are suns today are passing through the same process. Inwardly, they are streaming masses of gas, and on the other hand, they cause the gas to turn into light, and they ray forth light into the universe. In other words, light appeared for the first time during the course of our planet's transformations. In the warmth of ancient Saturn, the spirits of personality, the Archai, were able to become human. In the light that streamed from the sun, the beings of the spiritual hierarchies called archangels or archangeloi could attain their humanhood. If you had looked at the sun, not as human beings do today, but with clairvoyant faculties, you would have beheld not only a shining radiance, but also the deeds of the archangels streaming toward you in the light. In the process, however, the archangels also had to take something. The old spirits of personality still found pure fire on Saturn. On the planet they now had to inhabit, the archangels, who could become human only on the sun, found a gas-like, smoky state. What did they have to do to gain a firm foothold on the sun and make their abode there? They formed their souls, the inward part of themselves, out of the light, and incorporated it into an outer body of gas. Just as today you have a body and a soul, so the archangels who attained their human condition on the sun consisted of an inner being who could ray out light and an outer body of gas or air. Just as today the human body is made up of earth, water, air, and fire, so the archangels consisted of air and inwardly light. They had, of course, brought over the fire element with them, for it was precisely this that they developed into smoke and light. Thus these archangels also contained fire. Their total organization consisted of light, smoke, and fire. You would have encountered the archangels in bodies woven of gas, fire, and light. The light enabled them to have an outer existence, and they streamed a shining force into the universe. Through the fire, they had an inner life and experienced the well-being of warmth. Because they dwelt in a gaseous body, they were able to live on the sun planet as such. They could now differentiate their own gaseous body from the general substance on the old sun. They collided with this general substance, and this kindled a kind of consciousness of self. But this consciousness could be developed into higher stages only because the archangels preferred to remain connected, so to speak, to their gaseous, smoke-like bodies, or at least to remain in the sun substance. For in the alternating conditions on the old sun, the archangels could have absorbed all of the smoke, all of the gas of their surroundings into themselves. We now have a real breathing process on the sun. You would have experienced the currents of gas on the old sun as a breathing process. You would have found conditions of absolute stillness, and you would have said, "Now the archangels have inhaled all of the gas." But then the archangels would begin to exhale again. Inner currents would begin to flow, and at the same time light would appear. These were the alternating conditions on the sun. The archangels inhaled all the gas, stillness and darkness, the night of the sun followed. The archangels exhaled, and the sun became filled with streams of smoke and shone forth. The sun's day had begun. The whole of the sun's body went through a real breathing process. During exhalation, that is, the sun's day, the surrounding world became illuminated. During inhalation, the sun's night, everything became dark. Here you have the difference between the old sun and the present sun. Our present sun is always shining, and darkness is produced only when an object is placed in front of the light. Such was not the case on the old sun. It had the power to produce alternating conditions of light and darkness that consisted of a breathing out and a breathing in. Let us imagine very vividly what happened outwardly. Take the condition of exhalation, that is, when the light rays out and at the same time the sun fills itself with smoke. These forms of smoke, these currents of smoke, have a regular configuration. At each exhalation, a sum of regular forms is imprinted upon the sun's substance. What had previously been mere egg-shaped warmth bodies were transformed into various regular forms, quite remarkable smoke forms containing an inner life and regularity now arose. It was as if the eggs had hatched. This might be compared to a process of densification. Much as the chicken comes out of the egg, so had the warmth eggs been split asunder. Regular smoke forms emerged, which were the archangel's densest bodies. These inhabited the sun in bodies of smoke, gas, and air, and thus moved about as human beings. This gives us the spiritual idea of a fixed star, a universal sun that produces the alternation of day and night by virtue of its own inherent power. Light and darkness came about through breathing out and breathing in, because at that time the old sun was a kind of fixed star. Everything that of itself shines forth into our universal space sends the life of spiritual messengers, the archangels, out with the light. What did the original archai, or primal beginnings, the spirits of personality, accomplish through their own development? They made it possible for a sun to appear. If it were not for them, there would have been only a Saturn stage in evolution. Because the archai left external warmth eggs on Saturn, the metamorphosis into a sun could be achieved. On the sun, the archangels had the opportunity to pass through the human stage. They became the heralds of the cosmos, who proclaimed that the primal beginnings, the spirits of personality, had preceded them. As messengers of the universe, we proclaim in radiating light the former existence of the warmth-permeated ancient Saturn. We are the messengers, the heralds of the archai. Angeloi means messengers. Archai means beginnings. The archangels are, in fact, the messengers of the accomplishments of the primal beginnings, or archai, in ancient times. That is why they are called the angels of the beginnings, archai and angeloi, which gave rise to the English word archangels. These arch-messengers achieved their humanhood on the sun. The end of Lecture 3.